Our guests today, the Fruit Bats, are from Portland, Oregon, and are led by singer and songwriter Eric Johnson. Their fine new album, The Ruminant Band, is their first in 5 years. During that period of time, Eric has been playing as a member of the Shins. He's a longtime friend of their leader, James Mercer. Something else has happened, too, and that is that the Fruit Bats have coalesced as a real band, not just Eric and backing musicians. I asked him how that had factored into making the new album so strong.
Yeah, well, I'd been doing stuff in a very sort of solo capacity for 10 years, and then I would take bands out, and you'd play, you'd tour for a couple weeks or whatever, and songs would start to take shape in a different way than you had recorded them, and you'd be like, this sounds better than when I did it before, and I sort of realized that was the key to what I wanted. I wanted sort of this fuller thing and something that was kind of more road tested. So we actually, like, before we even recorded this record, we did a tour of the West Coast and sort of kind of just wrote things together, like, while we were playing. And it was definitely, like, it was a very conscious effort to do something like that.
And you started calling the band the Ruminant Band?
Yeah, that was, it was so different that I kind of thought that it maybe should be a new band. And that was one of the names that I'd come up with, just a list of band name ideas. And then it ended up turning into a song, and then it ended up turning into a record. But it's kind of like, it has double, triple symbolic meaning, of course.
Yeah, and ruminant itself has many meanings. Of course, I think of cow stomachs, but I'm not sure that was the first one that you came up with.
That was the first thing that I came. It was cow stomachs and just cud chewing animals for some reason. I just like that word, and I actually kind of didn't realize that people started mentioning that that it had something to do with that it was 4 years between records, which is, a long time to ruminate over something. So that's the extra meaning, but I didn't intend that, at least consciously.
Well, now the song itself, I understand at least part of it came to you on a bike ride?
Yeah, it came to me on a bike ride along the Willamette River in Portland here, and it was, it's just kind of a song about, it's sort of a song about homeless people and Robert Plant, or Robert Plant as a homeless person. The Robert Plant something wasn't really pointed out to me until later by somebody else, and then I realized, yeah, it probably is about Robert Plant. So there's some Led Zeppelin references in that song. But
wow.
But yeah, it's sort of about, it was about riding my bike and seeing these hobo encampments and just thinking about the stories of some of these people, because they look like gypsy road warrior people who should have a great rock band or something. So the idea of the Ruminant Band is this sort of amazing band of hobos who never really had their due but make this beautiful music, and for some reason Robert Plant is in that band too. So
well, this is
does that make any sense at all, what I just said?
I think it'll make more sense as you play it.
Yeah, okay. Let's just do that.
This is the Ruminant Band.
One, two, three, four. You'll always have smokes if you always give buckets of love. Like little Santana was living on beetles and grub. Had a blue-eyed mug, loved an Indian girl. Set to learn in the one-word fields in his corner of the world.
Belgium. You won't lose a beat if you just keep clapping your hands, like sweet, sweet Pete who clapped for the remnant band. Had a bit off tongue and a broken love, so balloon in the warm wet fields and the moon and under sun.
That is the title track of the Ruminant Band. Fruit Bats are playing live for us today on the cafe. And as we found out, that song having its origins in a bike ride. And I must not be much of a Led Zeppelin fan to not get all the references, but I'm sure those who are got them.
I didn't find out about those until I saw some sort of... And somebody asked me, like, are you a Led Zeppelin fan? And they explained, like, the one reference I knew, and then there was a couple more where I was like, I didn't know that I did that.
So what was the one you kind of knew about, the Zeppelin reference?
The Zeppelin reference is the line about a blue-eyed Merle, which was the name, and I'm giving away my dorky, like, lifetime Zeppelin fan club membership here, but a blue-eyed Merle was Robert Plant's the breed of dog that Robert Plant had, at least in the 60s and 70s. He had a blue-eyed Merle called Strider, and named after the Lord of the Rings character, and that was his dog. And he, in the song Bronyurar Stomp, which is one of my favorite Zeppelin tunes, he sings about Strider, and so that's the reference there.
Eric, you have a kind of a day job at times, going out with the Shins. You're old friends with James Mercer and play with that band. And it's interesting because most people I talk to say they cannot write on the road. I get this all the time, but I understand that you were, just sort of because the way your role in that band is, you were able to use your time to write.
Yeah, towards the end I did. I would have probably counted myself among those people too initially, but it was a long stretch with those guys too, and I knew that I was going to have to do something. And by the time you're at the end of two, I didn't want to like be thinking too much about the Fruit Bats when I was doing that, because it didn't seem fair to them to be sort of daydreaming about other music when you're up there. It's, you know, so it's like thinking about your ex-girlfriend when you're with your wife or something, But by the end, I did start to sort of slip away on the bus when people weren't around and start working on some of these songs, because I knew I was going to I knew that the window of time was going to be tight. So I did end up writing some of these on the road with those guys towards the end of the tour, once it was like everything was perfectly dialed in.
A lot of people talk about how kind of upbeat this album is. In some cases, it's the case of the music being kind of upbeat, and the lyrically, it doesn't really kind of follow that. Was that a conscious thing?
Not really. But people definitely have kind of latched onto that idea, which is fine by me. As far as perceptions of how people see things, you know, as long as they're enjoying it. I think that, like, my one thing, if people were saying, oh, this is so upbeat and positive, just as long as they don't think that that because of that it lacks gravity, or I'm not trying to say something, or that it's just sort of light and out there and insubstantial, because, you know, it's still like, you know, when you're writing songs, it's your autobiography. So I don't want it to be the songwriting equivalent of the back of a cereal box or something. I'm kind of trying to say something, even if I don't even understand it, even if it's about Robert Plant and hobos. But
well, now, you have a song, Tegucigalpa, which I got really, you know, I started honing up on Tegucigalpa. But then I had, it was one of those words that just works well.
It's a great word. It was a word that I was obsessed with. Like, sometimes I just get a word, like the way that people would get a song in their head or a line from a movie or something. I just had that word. I'd seen it written a bunch of times and I couldn't pronounce it. And then I heard it pronounced. It's a cool word. And then I had to learn it. And I had to include it in something. The line itself about being born in Tegucigalpa on the only snowy day there is actually from a friend of mine, Michael Johnson, who lives in Philadelphia, who was born in Miami on the only day it ever snowed in Miami, which is an amazing sort of distinction since that's a pretty tropical, subtropical city. So, but Miami didn't work in the lyrics. And then I was like, Tegucigalpa, I was obsessed with that word. So it's sort of about that song is about wintertime and freak weather occurrences as a metaphor for something.
All right. So you can do that one?
Yeah, that's the song we're going to do.
I was born to goose ago, but the only day it ever snowed there was a frozen wave that killed the yucca and the Adams fig. I always seem to bring the cold anywhere I ever go. That's just the way it's always gonna be. My family moved to seven northward up to the Terra Borealis on the crooked pikes of the Reuben and some Voyager. Heart belongs to the snow. In the Monongahela and all the dirty cities along the way. You know they all lie to you. Them there with the spider eye. I'll always keep you warm. I'll always treat you nice. Well, I was floated in just this morning. Up a thousand miles from nowhere, I'm a broke leg thing in a herd of unicorns, you know. I always seem to bring the gray skies anytime I ever fly from all the dirty cities along the way. You know they all lie to you. Them folks with the spider eye. I'll always keep you. I'm heading back to the place that makes sense to me. My heart belongs to the snows of Buffalo and Chicago and all the dirty cities along the way.
Tegucigalpa from Fruit Bats playing live today. Sam Wagster on guitars, Ron Lewis on keyboards, rhythm section of Graham Gibson on drums, and Christopher Sherman on the bass, and Eric Johnson. Fruit Bats live today on the cafe. Now I was reading that before you started being able to do this full time, you had a craft services business. You did food for films or for concerts or for how did you do that?
For film sets, actually, yeah, mainly TV commercials and stuff like that. That was my day job before I started playing in the Shins. That was kind of how I made ends meet.
Wow. So are you a closet foodie or is that mostly just a business?
I wouldn't even say I'm in the closet with my foodiness. I'm out of the closet as a foodie, and But craft service business is kind of like it's not, you get to do some fun stuff food wise, but it's really more of a snack master.
Right.
That would be a way cooler name for it. I like to call myself a snack master or a snack meister if you want to say it in the German. But you're basically the guy who really, if you wanted, you could just have lots of bowls of Tootsie products, Tootsie rolls, Tootsie pops. But I made stuff too. And apparently I make a really good grilled cheese, according to a lot of people who have worked on TV commercials with me. But I did that for 5 years or something.
Aren't there members of Portland bands who still have like trucks in Portland? I know Portland is a big food truck kind of town.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I always kind of like picture, I could see myself doing that one of these days. But Jesse formerly from the Shins, has a cart now that's like kind of his main gig, which is, I haven't gone there, but it's apparently amazing. And I don't know of any other people in bands who have food carts, but it's really, I'm not totally sure why it's so prevalent here, but it's great. It's sort of one of the coolest things about eating here is just finding something on the street.
Yeah, sounds fabulous. Fruit Bats are our guests, and they're playing live for us today. And Eric, what's next?
I'm going to switch over to the keyboard station here, and we'll do Featherbed.
I'll be the love of
And another one that is on the Ruminant Band album, that is Feather Bed, a live version today from Fruit Bats, who are playing live for us on the cafe. Well, it's been really fun to have you guys on. Thanks a lot for doing the show today.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having us. It was fun, too.